as I was years ago in the mid-80s, a lady by the name of Nancy Reagan began an anti-drug campaign, and it was called Just Say No. She was encouraging young people to say no when drugs were offered to them. And that's a good thing. But how many know sometimes it takes more than just a simple no? Sometimes it takes a lot of willpower and a lot of help from God to say no. But this morning I want to talk to you on the subject of the power of a godly no. Say it with me. The power of a godly no. Say it once again. The power of a godly no. And she said that campaign slogan was just say no. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Just say no. How many knows we've all been in situations where we wish we would have said no instead of yes? Am I in the right church today? We've all said a yes when we found out that we had said yes to something and committed to it. We wished we would have said no. I don't think this is for me. And in this verse of scripture that I'm about to read, I believe Jesus is confronting double-mindedness. And in this scripture, it's very simple. In Matthew chapter 5 in the NLT, verse 37, it's simple. Just a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. I believe he's kind of helping us to make a decision to say yes or to say no, to not fall into that trap of being manipulated by people to do something we don't want to do. And sometimes because we're double-minded, we will say yes outwardly, but inwardly we wish we would have said no. Am I in the right church today? Come on, we can be honest at church, can't we? Huh? So we find out sometimes we will use our words to manage people rather than to tell the truth. You know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, so I will say yes. Or I don't want to offend anybody, so I will say yes. But the word says, you know, anything beyond yes and no is from the evil one. And he's talking about that speech that comes from a dishonest heart or a heart that is divided. And so we live in a world that is addicted to yes. Yeah, we are. We're addicted to yes. I mean, yes. How many of those people give in to pressure? Yes, because of the pressure. Amen. Yes, because of the expectations. They expect that of me. Or how many know sometimes we say yes to things that God never assigned to us? And we find ourselves trapped into doing something that we don't want to do, and therefore we do it with a wrong heart, a wrong motive. And I want to help you today to understand it's okay to say no. Now, when I say this, please don't take this message to the left ditch, all right? Every sermon I preach can be taken to the right ditch or the left ditch. Don't take this to the left ditch, which says, well, pastor says it's okay to say no. I'm not going to come to church. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to work in the nursery. I'm not going to help feed the people today. I'm not going to do anything because pastor said I can say no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't feel pressured to say yes that God hasn't assigned us to do a no. Okay, so I'm telling you, we're living in a day and time when so many people, so many believers, we're just overwhelmed, we're burned out, we're spiritually drained, not because we're doing bad things, but because we're doing so many good things. Can I hear an amen? How many knows that's a trap we get caught into, doing so many good things, and not because they're not wrong things, but it's things that God didn't put as an assignment on our life, and we find ourselves sometimes overburdened, overpressured, no time. No time for family because we couldn't say no. How many knows every yes is going to cost you something? Isn't that a good statement? Say it with me. Every yes is going to cost me something. And every no will protect something. And so Jesus gives us the example in our scriptures that we just read. And I want to give you another scripture that Jesus gave us today where he said no. Jesus didn't say yes to everybody. People were tugging on Jesus all the time. They were trying to get him to do this, and go here and go there. And Jesus said, I don't have time to do everything. Let's go to this scripture here in Mark chapter 1, NLT. We'll begin at verse number 35 and read 35, 36, 37, and 38, okay? If you're there, say amen. If you're still looking, say, Jesus, help me. Mark chapter 1. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and he went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well. And I will preach to them too. That is why I came. Can y'all see that this morning? Jesus said, I am not, just because everybody's pulling on me doesn't mean I have the time to do that. I will only do what the Father tells me to do. And so he walked away from good opportunities. These were good things. But he walked away because it wasn't in his assignment. People looking for him, demanding healing, demanding attention, demanding, I need to talk to you. Can we sit down and talk for an hour? But because Jesus was committed to his assignment, how many knows every once in a while he did say no? Amen? And if Jesus didn't say yes to everything, I don't think we have to say yes to everything. The more I pastor, and especially the older I get, I realize I can't be in more than one place at a time. I just learned that a few weeks ago, you know. I can't be everywhere at once. And as a pastor, sometimes, you know, you're expected to be at every little thing, every big thing, everything that comes along. And we've had to say no at the expense of offending people or at the offense of hurting people's feelings. But, you know, my assignment is to teach the Word of God and to prepare and to preach the Word of God. And Darlene and I just can't go to every event. But we try to make as many as we can. But if Jesus didn't say yes to everything, we don't have to say yes to everything, because no, listen to this, no will protect your purpose. I said no will protect your purpose. Okay, let's look at another scripture in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Nehemiah 6, 2 and 3. If you didn't bring your Bible, you can see it right behind me this morning. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at Starbucks for a cup of... No, wait a minute. That was the Rhodes translation. I'm sorry. That's not authorized. Asking me to meet them in one of the villages, but I do like the name of this village, in the village of Ono. Huh? In the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me, so I replied by sending this message. I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Notice he didn't make excuses. He just said, no, I'm not coming. I want to help you today. Somewhere in this message, I'll give you four ways to say no in a respectful way without being offensive. But he said, I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet you? They sent for me, but I sent them messengers. Notice, he didn't even go down and talk to them. He didn't even tell them no face to face. He sent a messenger to say, no, I can't do it. It's going to be good today. I'm not moved by your lack of amens or your silence or your stoic nature. I'm doing a good work. I'm doing something for God. I cannot come down. You know what it was? It was a distraction. It wasn't necessarily, maybe it wasn't even an evil thing, although I think because we know the rest of the story, it might have been, but he didn't know that it was an evil thing. How many knows the enemy loves to send disruptions in our life? Anything to keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. How many knows we should be taking time every day? I know you get tired of hearing this, but we need to pray every day. And I will keep preaching that till the day I die, because that is fundamental to our growth. We should read our Bible. Did I say pray? We should read our Bible. How you doing, Doug? When you're up here preaching and you look at somebody, suddenly you say, oh, Doug's here today. And the lady that takes care of all my eyeglasses at work, or used to. And so, where am I at? Dear Lord, help me. You distracted me from my assignment. The enemy's assignment is to distract us from doing what we're called to do or even what we're supposed to do. How many knows a flat tire will try to distract you from going to work? Come on. And so we're learning that we can't always say yes to everything. I believe that no is spiritual warfare. When you say no to something that's trying to distract you from doing what God wants you to do, how many knows if there's a phone call that comes in while you're in the middle of St. John, it might be to distract you from finishing the book. If you're in your prayer time and you're praying for people and you get a message from Facebook, how many knows that notification could be a distraction to keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are y'all getting this today? It's so simple. I like to preach at a kindergarten level. That way, I understand it, and a few others understand it. So, but we got to understand that when those notifications come up, actually, I heard somebody say last week or a couple of weeks ago that now they don't even take their phone to go pray or to read from the Bible because when they're reading, notifications jump up or a text or something comes in and it distracts you. They said, I went and actually got me a hard copy. Can you imagine? Had to buy a hard copy of the Bible and then take it to my prayer room so that I don't get distracted when I'm reading the Word of God. We've got to learn to say no to distractions that try to get us to off the mark of what God's called us to do. Amen. So I said no is a spiritual warfare because we're saying no. Do you know that we need to say no to unhealthy relationships? I know I don't need to teach this. Are the teenagers down today? I know they have good teaching up there, but I'd like to just remind you that the scripture says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know what that means? Simply means don't hang out. Don't go dating people that aren't Christians. Be aware that you don't fall into a trap. And here's the famous comeback. Well, I'm the only light they've got, and I'm going to lead them to Jesus. Yeah, everybody say ha ha ha. It don't work that way. 9 times out of 10, it works the other way around. It's easier for them to pull you back than it is for you to pull them up. So we need to understand unhealthy relations. We got to say no to some things and yes to God's purpose. Amen. And I believe, Brother Dwayne, that fear is one of the reasons that we don't say no. We don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want to make them feel bad. We don't want to make them feel like I don't care. And somewhere we have to get to the place that we're not going to struggle with that fear of rejection. Well, they will reject me. Amen. How about the fear of disappointing people or the fear of missing out on something? You know, we get invited to a lot of different parties and I know there's food and I know there's a lot of things going on, you know, birthday parties and wedding parties and all this stuff. And I know there's going to be lots of things going on, but sometimes you're going to just have to miss out on some things. Amen? Anybody receiving this today? Sometimes you know, we struggle because we want to be liked. We want everybody to like us. We want everybody to love us. And if we say no, it could be that they may not like us anymore. Well, how many knows their love for you is based on tricks, based on what you do, not who you are. That was a good statement. You just missed a good chance to say amen. Their love for you is not based on who you are. It's based on what you do. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. I'm going to zip through this pretty quick this morning and let you go home and grab a lunch and then come back this afternoon for the celebration of life. Galatians 1 and 10. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, Paul says, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be the servant of Christ. How many see that this morning? If all I try to do is please everybody, then I'm not the servant of Christ. I'm the servant of those that are manipulating me and controlling me. How many knows you're never going to please everybody? When I started this journey of pastoring, I wanted to be the best pastor in the world. I wanted everybody to love me. I wanted everybody to think I was the best preacher, the best pastor, the best person. I wanted to be that one special pastor that the world's never seen before. But you know, guess what? I found out. I can't please everybody. I can't please everybody. And no matter how good I try to be, sometimes you have to say no. Hello? Brother Starkey, I've had to say no to people that wanted to preach in my pulpit. You know why? Because they can undo more in 5 minutes than I have done in 50 years. So you protect the pulpit, you protect the congregation, you protect the sheep, and you don't let just everybody that wants to come and preach in your pulpit have the spotlight. You'd be surprised how many calls we get, Mike. People wanting to come in and, I'm available. I'd like to just come and stop by and preach for you. No, you didn't. You want an offering is what you want. Hey, I wasn't born yesterday. Oh, we've got an opening in our schedule and we're trying to fill that spot. How come? Well, we need an offering. Are you with me? So I will protect this pulpit. I won't let just anybody that calls or anybody that I don't know unless they come highly recommended into this pulpit. Amen. They may be a good preacher and they may be this and that, but not every good thing is a God thing. Amen. All right. Listen to this. Ministry opportunities, helping others, and even serving. All of these are good, but you can get so wrapped up in those that you don't have time for God. We can get so busy serving God that we don't take time to love, worship, and read the Word of God. Is this helping anybody today? Let's go to another verse, Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I love this verse of Scripture, verses 2 through 5. Let's read. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers, the 12 disciples. There were some problems that had arisen. There was some murmuring in the church. How many knows that still happens today once in a while? But not at Solid Rock. There was some murmuring in the early church. And here's what the 12 disciples said. We apostles should spend our time teaching the Word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the Word. Look at these last 4 words. Everyone liked this idea. Now, that's a miracle. I said, that's a miracle. Everyone? Is that in there or did I make that up? It's there. Okay. Everyone liked the idea. Here's what the apostles did. They said, no, we don't have time to serve tables and wait tables. And there's people around here that can do that. Here's we'll select these deacons and they can do that. And then they can get helpers and we'll get the job done. It's just that we have to give ourselves to the Word and to prayer. And we'll see. My job is not to do everything. My job is to see that everything gets done. And God has blessed us with a tremendous staff. I had an accident Tuesday morning. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but it was just a simple accident. And it was right after prayer meeting. We had prayer meeting at 6 o'clock, and I was on my way to Rural King, and something happened, and Dwayne was back home, and I called Dwayne. I said, Dwayne, I need your help. I'm in a pickle. And Dwayne dropped everything he was doing, came over, and was right there to help me. I thank God for the Dwaynes, but I want to tell you something. Dwaynes can get worn out and burned out and overworked real easy because everybody likes to tug on somebody that doesn't say no. I'm glad you didn't say no. I mean, that's just Forget what I just preached. I'm glad you didn't say no. It's really funny how when something needs to get done, somebody say, go see Dwayne. Dwayne will get it done. And Dwayne, I told him a long time ago, I said, Dwayne, learn to say no. You can't do everything. Amen. And this is exactly what the disciples did. They said no. You know what? A feeding program is great. I mean, there's nothing wrong. It was a godly thing to have a feeding program. But the apostle said, my responsibility is to teach the word, just to pray and seek the word and learn the word so that I can teach you. And we'll have some others. And thank God for a wonderful staff at Solid Rock that trickles down. We've got tier one, tier two, and tier three. And they all work together. Thank God for a great church. Give yourself a hand, okay? Thank God for a wonderful church of volunteers. Amen. Now, how many knows Adam? God told Adam and Eve, what did he tell them? No, you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said no. How many knows God wasn't being mean when he said no? He wasn't trying to be controlling when he said no. He was actually trying to protect them. His no was a protection, and it wasn't a prohibition. It was for their own protection, and no is often a word of protection for your personal life, for your ministry, for your family, for your church, for your business. Sometimes you just have to say no. Amen. But how many knows the old serpent came along and tried to turn God's no into a yes? He used reasonable thinking. He planted those thoughts in the minds of Adam and Eve that it's okay. It's okay. God didn't really mean that. He didn't really mean no. Maybe God meant maybe. Maybe God meant after a few weeks in the garden, it'll be okay. That's the way the enemy works. How many knows the old serpent still comes around and tries to get us to turn our no into a yes? And instead of yelling no to the enemy, instead of rebuking that serpent, they gave in to the pressure and did what God told them not to do. Can I tell you something? When God says no, he means no. And I've had God tell me no a few times. But when he says no, it's all right. You don't argue with him. I'll tell you something else. When God says yes, you better, yes, sir. Amen? You better yes, sir, God. Okay, so instead of yelling no at the devil, they gave in to the temptation and said, well, you know what? It really does look good. It looks appetizing. Yeah, I like apples or figs or oranges or whatever it could have been. It looks good. I think I'd like to try that. Surely God doesn't mean no. I want to say it one more time. When God says no, he means no. Amen? Adam had a chance to say no, had a chance to turn things around. But how many knows? Because he didn't say no, we lost everything. The human race plunged into eternal darkness because of that no. When you allow your mind to be enticed by what you know is not the will of God, you will soon act on that enticement. What, in other words, let me say it like this. What you think about, you will eventually do. You let your mind wander, and honey, it will anybody got a mind, a brain? Anybody? Let me see. Anybody, am I in the right church? You got a mind? When you let your mind wander, does it not like to wander? Don't you feel like sometimes you need to get on that horse and get that rope out and lasso that soulish realm and pull it back in so that it just can't wander everywhere it wants to go? Success is not built on how many times you say yes. It could be a strong no. If you just say good preaching, I'll wrap it up real quick. Okay, let's turn this around a little bit now. No runs from the appearance of evil. How many knows no has legs? I said no has legs. It will run from the very appearance of evil. How many knows not to say no when we know to do so is sin? Look at this verse of scripture right here in the book of James. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then do it not. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's very strong. Remember, it's sin. It is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Sin. Wow. Pretty strong, isn't it? Let's talk about another man in the Bible. Recently, I preached about Samson out of Judges chapter 16. Let's go back and visit little old Samson for just a minute and see how he said no so many times, right? Samson was highly respected, even among the Philistines. He was feared. He was anointed. He was a mighty man of God. He was used of God. But he had one big problem. He did not know how to control his flesh. Now it's getting quiet in here. You just identified. I know where to start shooting my words now. He did not know how to control his flesh. You know what? He liked those pagan women from those other countries. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Delilah is still around today. Delilahs are still around today. And we can't stick our head in the sand. Delilah is looking for cracks in the door. Looking for cracks in your words. Looking for cracks. Trying to get your no to become a yes. We need to learn to say and say it out loud. Say it out loud. How many knows the devil can't read your mind? I said the devil cannot read your mind. The devil does not read your mind. He does not have that ability. But he does respond to words. And that's why the Bible says in Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted three times of the devil, he said with his mouth, he said with his words, it is written. He was talking to the devil. He wasn't thinking those things. He said those things. It is written. And we need to sometimes just open our mouth and tell the devil, no. Tell Delilah, no. Tell the enemy, no, I will not linger on those thoughts. I'm not giving in to the flesh. I'm not giving in to the world. I'm not giving in to the devil. I'm not allowing my mind to go there. No. Say no. Man, if we just say no more often. Yeah, I really believe that if we'd say no more often, we wouldn't have to spend so much time in prayer trying to get the victory. I don't know if you notice or not, but most people's prayers, about 50% of them, is they're trying to get to victory. I need this. I need this. God, I want this. I'm down here. I'm in the valley. Lord, I want this. Can you help me? And I believe that if we could just say no to the devil, I believe that we wouldn't have to spend so much time in trying to get to victory. Good preaching, Pastor Rhodes. I think I'll buy this CD today. Samson did not fulfill his destiny because he could not say no. How many knows, instead of saying no, he played with the devil. He teased the devil. He would tell lies to Delilah. And eventually he got tired of telling lies. And how many knows, because of the truth, he could not say no. Samson lost his destiny. Yes, he did take down more Philistines in the last battle. But how many knows how much more he could have done if he would have just said no? Look at somebody and say, just say no. Let me tell you something else no does. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, I think I'm going to paraphrase this for sake of time. But remember when God told Saul to destroy all of the Amalekites. Sounds like tongues, don't it? Amalekite. He said, I want you to destroy all of them and everybody and their cattle and their livestock. Destroy everything. Now, if Saul would have just said, yes, Lord, and no to the temptation, he could have not lost his kingdom. But because he gave in to the pressure, you know what he said? He said, well, all the people told me, keep the cattle and sacrifice that to the Lord. That's a great work, sacrificing. That's a good thing to do. Just sacrifice the cattle and God will be pleased. No, because God had already said, no, destroy everything. And so he talks to the prophet about it, Samuel, and he said, well, the people made me do it. I want to ask you something, King Saul. Who was the king? Well, I know we don't have kings in our particular society, but where the power of a king is, there's a lot of rulership. And when a king says no, no means no. And when God said, destroy them all, he meant all of them. And so Saul makes a little excuse here and says, well, you know, the people made me keep back. Well, how many knows that because of that, he lost the throne. He lost his life. He eventually lost the anointing. And he eventually lost his family because he could not say no to the pressure that the people put him under. You know, sometimes pastoring can be very pressurized. Because somebody will say, well, Brother Rhodes, we need a feeding program here at the church. We need a clothing program. Diane, remember that? Helping Hands Ministry years ago, way back in the 40s. I mean, way back 40 years ago. We had a Helping Hands Ministry, and we gave out clothing, and we gave out food, and we were the local Goodwill store for free. And people took advantage of it. But after a while, the workers kind of got tired of doing it, and we had to close it down. But sometimes in pastoring, you get a lot of pressure. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Let's start this, and let's start that. You know, why do I have to start a feeding program when there's one in a church right down the road, 100 feet, and we can support them? Right? Let's help them excel in their ministry. Let's help other churches excel in the specialty ministries that God has given them. Our specialty ministry at Solid Rock is missions, in case you didn't see the flags. That's our where our anointing is at, is in the missions. And if we try to stop that just because somebody said, I don't like world missions, and believe me, we've been told that. We don't believe in world missions. You know, what do we do? Do we give in to the pressure? Do we say, no, I'm not listening to you because I'm going to listen to God and offend people and people leave the church? I don't know. I do know. I'm going to say no. Are you all with me this morning? And this is not just for me. This is for you. Learning to say no. You don't have to say yes to everything that comes down the pike. Amen? Learn to say no to the desires of the flesh. Learn to say no to the world. Learn to say no to the devil. And learn to say no to the people that try to pull you away from what God called you to do. I know God called us to world missions. I know that women around the world is called of God. I know that God called Darlene as the face and the voice for women around the world. And I'm not jealous one little bit. But some people don't like it. But that's all right. We're still going to have women around the world conferences. We're still going to do teachings around the world. You know, if half of you get mad and quit, adios, I guess. I hate to see you go. But we can't change what God's called us to do because somebody doesn't like it. Okay, may I continue? Many are afraid to say no because it might hurt someone's feelings. Let me give you another Old Testament example of somebody that said no. We got a bunch of them in the Word of God. But let's look at old King David for just a moment. How many knows everybody knows about King David, right? How many knows he should have said no to his wandering mind? He didn't say no, and later on he paid for that no, didn't he? How many of those David should have been out leading the troops that were in war instead of sitting on the roof of his house looking at a woman across the way? Amen? Everybody say, idle time is the devil's workshop. If he was up there taking a coffee break, maybe that's okay. But when he started with that wandering eye looking around with his binoculars, telescope, whatever they had in those days, listen, I'm telling you, he should have screamed no to his flesh, no to his mind, no to the devil, and no to the temptation. Somebody shout amen. You see, his eyes begin to wander. Listen, men, I know, and not just men, there's women that have the same problem. We've got to learn to say no. We cannot allow our flesh to be gratified, because what happened was David, we all know that David with Bathsheba ended up with child, and to cover up that, what did he have done? He had her murdered. He had her husband murdered so that he could cover up his first sin. Do you know what people think of when they think of David? Two things. They think of, number one, the guy that killed the giant as a 14, 15, 16-year-old kid. But do you know what else they remember? His sin with Bathsheba. Isn't it amazing? Her name is Bathsheba. And she was on the roof taking a bath. I don't know if that's coincidental or not. But I'm going to tell you something. When you indulge the flesh, honey, you are headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble. Listen to your pastor this morning. And you say, well, but it's just a small thing. If you give in to the little things, they will begin to build up and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And before long, that small thing will be so big that you won't have any control over those thoughts. Amen? Another area. Oh, I like this one. I love this one. I couldn't wait to get to this one. What time is it? 11:39. I couldn't wait to get to this one. Another area. I'm going to go to meddling now. Can I meddle? Craig, can I meddle? Another area where people fail in saying no is with their children. And grandchildren, Darlene. And grandchildren, Darlene. Great ministries have been shut down because they didn't know how to say no to their children. They did not raise their children according to biblical standards and found out that they lost face with the congregation and had to give up their churches. Can I give you a man that did that in the Old Testament? 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord. Let me just give you a one-line preface here. Eli did not know how to say no to his children. I think he may have loved his children more than he loved the precepts of the Lord. He allowed them to do things that he knew were wrong. He let them do whatever they wanted. He never learned the value of saying no. And this is the priest, Levi, okay? Now, let's look at verse 22 together. Verse 22. Now, Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his son were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. That was the greeters. The young women that were greeting people at the tabernacle, he was going in and seducing them in the church. It's hard to say amen to something like that, isn't it? However, I do believe that if Eli would have said no to his children, are you listening? Instead of slapping them on the wrist and saying, bad boys, bad boys. Naughty, naughty boys. You know what he should have done? He should have removed them from the office. He should have removed them from ministry till they got their life straightened out. Are you hearing me? I said he should have had them step aside until there was repentance and time for healing. Okay, Steve? Okay. I wrote this down. Eli's failure was not ignorance. He knew what his sons were doing. They abused the sacrifices, exploited the people, and dishonored God's house. The scripture says Eli rebuked them verbally, but he did not restrain them. That's what the Bible says. He did not restrain them. He spoke weak words where strong action was required. Instead of a firm no, there was a tolerance, delay, a passiveness without enforcement. And because Eli could not say no, not only did he lose the priesthood, but his family lost the priesthood. Remember, priesthood, tribe of Levi, right? Eli never dealt with the problem. Is this boring anybody today? So why did I say that? Because I believe the same thing is happening to many people today. They're afraid to say no to their kids because they want to be best friends with their children. We're afraid to say no because we'll hurt their feelings. Well, they might pack their bags and leave. And I told you a few weeks ago, my mom's told me that. She said, well, come on, son, I'll help you pack your suitcase. I thought she would cry, drop in the floor and start crying. She said, no, son, come on. If you don't want to obey the rules of this house, I will pack your bags and we'll do it together. Some of us need to understand what tough love is. And thank God we have some families in this church that have learned to say no to their kids that were abusing them or taking advantage of them. When you say no to your kids, mean it. Don't waver. Don't waffle. And they're going to whine, and they're going to cry. They're going to throw, excuse me, they're going to throw a fit, right? They're going to mope around. But I'm going to tell you something. No gives your children security. It gives them boundaries. It helps them know how far they can go. No, you cannot have another piece of cheesecake. I mean, we need to tell ourselves that sometimes. Ah, that'll wake you up on it. I'll say it again. No is a protection. And you know what? When they grow up, I've had to say thanks to my mom and dad many times after I grew up. Some of you know my mom and dad very well. And even though they were what we call hard on their children, they did the best they knew how to raise us. And I've not been to prison. I've not even been to county jail except to pray for people. I turned out pretty good. But in the battle down there, when you're a teenager, how many knows they just hate me? They just don't understand me. There's a generational gap. Is this okay, kids? Kids, listen to all of you that are 18 and under, listen to me. Well, let's get Max in there. 19 and under. When a parent says no, that doesn't mean let's talk about it. I don't care how many times you've read Donald Trump's book on the art of negotiation. When somebody says no, there is no negotiation. No is no. And when you compromise and you give in to the pressure, they're going to work it. And they will work the system against you. Come on, moms and dads, am I right? Am I close to being right, huh? Let your no be no. Let your yes. Jesus said anything beyond that is of the devil. Let your no be no. I'm not against kids, but I am against kids that rebel in authority to the family and to their moms and dads. It just ticks me when I hear a child sassing their parents. I could turn this into a family message real easy right now. Under, when mom or dad says no, no means no. Now, I don't know why Tiffany's the loudest amen in the church, but maybe because her son's on the back row and she wants to make sure he can hear her. You did hear me, didn't you? Okay, let's talk about how to say no the right way. There you go. Oh, by the way, Silas, When I'm teaching you to say no, that doesn't mean say no to your kids, right? No means no, devil. You can't tempt me, devil. I'm a child of God. Yes, sir. When you say no, you don't have to give explanations. Now, I know there's some people in this church that don't like it when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's the way I was raised. When my dad said no, and I said, why? I know, old school, right? Was anybody else raised like that? When dad or mom said no, you don't say why, because if you need a reason, then... Okay, I told you some wouldn't agree with me. That's okay. I'm sticking to my guns. You don't need to make long excuses. Just say no. Stay kind. You don't have to be mean. Stay kind. I said no. And no means no. Max, stop belching out loud. Max, should I tell him everything, Max? No? Here's another thing. You don't have to be harsh in your no. All right? Just affirm no and mean it. You see, because my dad was a military guy, and some of you guys were raised in military, you know that no means no. You don't negotiate or argue with your drill instructor. Huh? You don't say, well, let's make a deal. This is not... What's that guy's name that played Let's Make a Deal? Monty Hall? Yeah, I'm not Monty Hall, and this is not Let's Make a Deal, all right? So you can be kind in your no. Be kind in your no. Doesn't have to be harsh. Now, if somebody is telling you, if somebody's wanting you to do something, how do you say no to them? Let me give you a couple examples. Because sometimes they may not understand, no, why you can't be at the party, or no, why can't you? And sometimes we feel like we have to give an excuse why we can't do it. Listen, I wrote down three things here. I can't commit to that right now. Did I give that to you? I didn't give it to you? I can't commit to that right now. Number two, that's not something I'm able to take on right now. Number three, I need to stay focused on what God has given me. Now, there's nothing offensive at all about that, is there? Jesus was loving, but listen, he was never manipulated. Huh? He was never manipulated. Amen. I believe some of us are just exhausted from saying no so much. But see, if your yes is out of control, you're going to be weary real quick, right? I want the worship team to join me up here on the platform. I don't even know if there's a song that goes with this or not. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. Would you like to stand? And not? I'll let you stand if you promise me you won't jump up and head to the bathroom or head out the front door. You stand. If you can stand, you can stand. Just stick with me just a few more minutes. It's not even noon yet. I want to make sure I'm clear about this. Understand what I'm saying. I'll wait till you finish getting up. Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
You don't have to attend everything. Sometimes my Uncle Gary is so black and white, he'll just say, no, I'm not going to be there. I want to say, well, why, Gary? It's your church. But I don't, because I know no means no, right? And Gary is very black and white, His no is no. His yes is yes. If he tells you he'll be there, he'll be there. If he says I'll be there at 7:30, it don't mean 7:31 or 7:32. Amen. So you don't have to attend everything. Number two, you don't have to fix everyone. God didn't call you to be Dr. Rhodes or Dr. Kramer or Dr. Young. He called you to do what he's called you to do, not fix everybody's problems. You can't fix everyone. And number three, you don't have to carry what he didn't give you. You don't have to carry what he didn't give you. Your breakthrough may come not from doing more, but from saying no. The longer I pastor and the older I get, I don't want to do weddings anymore. I don't even want to do funerals anymore. I'll help on the one today. But, you know, I've just got people under us that can do it for us. And we've had people do it for us. There's times I've asked somebody. I was out of town, and I'd ask somebody to do it. I had a funeral of my ex-brother-in-law yesterday, a very good friend for many, many years. I introduced him and his wife when they were just teenagers. And I couldn't make it to the wake. I was out of town. And you talk about a guilt trip when you say, no, I can't be there. Your mind says, well, now you need to be there. That's family. You should be there. That's family. You need to stop what you're doing. But I had a prior commitment. But I did make it there 1 minute after the funeral started yesterday, after driving several hours. So you can't say yes to everything, and you can't feel guilty every time you say no. Your breakthrough may not come from doing more, but from saying no. Is that what we're doing? I'll say yes, Lord. I like that. Okay, four reasons to say no. I know you're standing, so you're not going to write these down. Four reasons to say no. It reduces stress and burnout by keeping you from overcommitting. I'll give these to you later on if you want a copy of this. Number two, it strengthens self-respect because you act in line with your own priorities and your own limits. Oh, we have it. Okay. Number one, it reduces stress and burnout. Number two, it strengthens self-respect because you are in line with your own priorities. Number three, it improves focus since fewer obligations leave more room for what matters the most. And number four, it can make relationships healthier by preventing one-sided expectations. Y'all get that this morning? So my questions, I've got three questions for you this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want to just walk out of here dancing on a song. I want us to prove that we have listened, we have learned, and that we're going to act upon what we've heard today. We're not going to be hearers only, but we're going to act. Number one, what has God asked you to release? What is God asking me to let go of? You trying to hold down three jobs so you can buy a boat and take Caribbean vacations, and your family's not being taken care of emotionally and physically? Are you working overtime all the time just so you can make another almighty dollar at the risk of not being there when your family needs you, your wife needs you, your children need you? What is God asking? What's he asking me to release? Do I need to let go of this? Maybe this lawn cutting job isn't as important as staying home with my wife. Maybe this snow removal driveway is not as important as being there for my wife. I just said that because of Dwayne. And I'm sure he's listening. Where can we say no? What's God asking us to release? Number two, where do I need to start saying no? I've got to start somewhere. I've got to start saying no. at the risk of people being offended or not understanding or accused of not doing my job, especially as a pastor. I don't make every hospital call. I don't make every home visit. Thank God Carissa and Tiffany went to see Marge in her home Friday. Thank God that Becky's going to stop by maybe tomorrow and see Marge. We continue to pray for Marge. I think more important than me being there is that she is being ministered to and helped and prayed for. And number three, what yes is costing me my peace? What am I saying yes to that's robbing me of peace? Father, we thank you for the word this morning. May we say yes to your will, yes to your way, and no to everything that is outside the realm of the will of God. May we learn to say no to our crazy minds that love to wander. May we say no to those things that we think we have to have. Oh, I just have to buy this on Amazon. I just got to buy this from TikTok. I've got to buy this from Instagram. I got to have another one. Lord, help us to learn to say no, to keep peace in the family, and to just bring peace back to our minds. Yeah, I know I need to work in the yard today when I get home. But Lord, I'd really like to spend the day with my wife and family. I'm going to put that other on hold. I'm going to say no to the yard and yes to my family. I know these are simple things, and I know these are elementary, but listen, these things can save your marriage. It can save your home. It can save your body from exhaustion. Just learning to say no. I love to preach, and I enjoy preaching out. But I'm not going to go everywhere there's an invitation. First of all, I'm a pastor here in Farmington. But secondly, I'm not called to preach to everyone. I'm called to preach to the flock that God's given us. And so, where can I say yes? How do I say no? Am I man enough, woman enough to say no, knowing the repercussions could be offensive? I'll say yes to more Bible reading. I'll say yes to more knee time on my knees praying, talking to God. I'll even say yes to more church attendance. I need to be in church every Sunday, every Wednesday. It's only two times a week. We're not asking you to sign your life away. We have church every Wednesday night. The crowd is embarrassingly low. So we could say yes to that. Sometimes we say no because I'm tired. No, because my favorite TV program's on. DVR it. Or live stream it or stream it. I just don't feel like going tonight. I think I'll stay home. Just don't feel like it. We do a lot of things we don't feel like, but we know are right. I said we do a lot of things we don't feel like, but we know are right. Thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you, Father, for decisions that are being made. If you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you know in your knower that you're not right with God. You know your relationship with God today is not like it needs to be. I want to pray with you, but I will not come back there and pull you up. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're in a place today where you say, I know I'm not right with God, but Pastor, would you just pray for me that I'll make a decision today to receive Jesus? Anybody in the building? Anybody willing to say yes to Jesus today? Anybody in the building? I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. The answer will be I'll say yes. Today's my day of salvation. Lord, yes.